Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Deep Thoughts. Today, I'm just going to cover something that is sort of etched out of the episode about the moon hoax, how they did it. Which, by the way, is the single most successful video I've ever made. It's really surprising me. But that's totally cool. A lot of great new folks on board. And boy, the comments are... If you could just get maybe 200 pages of comments of the ones that we've been having, you could just publish them into a book and it would be entertaining just to read. It's amazing. So today's episode is about dealing with the fact that we didn't go to the moon. Because it's weird. We have folks that just piss themselves when they think about the fact that there's a group of people out there that believe we didn't make it to the moon. So I'm going to just take my own bias, personal, subjective stab at this because it's all I can do. Because I've run into a few of these folks. And again, in my experience, especially just watching the comments online, we're at about, 85-95%, I haven't really counted, but it seems like almost everyone understands we didn't go. And they're okay with that. And they're not militant. And they're not trying to put astronauts in jail. They're just like, hey, yeah, you know, I understand. The circumstances were this, that, and this. And we didn't go. We wanted to. Of course we wanted to. Did a bunch of great things get created in the meantime, trying to do what we were doing? Sure. We live with those inventions to this day. But what's interesting is, when you meet one person who says they don't, they think we went to the moon, and you just ask them questions, well, why do you think that, blah, 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 and they'll give you their take on things. But then, you go on, you don't really have a pattern in your brain of what those people, how those people think. And then you bump into, like, this last week, this video isn't even out a week, and it's climbing up on 4,000 views, just, whoa. And I got a bunch of episodes that aren't obviously moon-based, and I'm a little scared to release them because I'm like, oh shit, I got a whole group of followers that are interested in this kind of thing, so I'm going to have to work on my themes and that kind of thing. So I'm just going to be checkering ones that are typical neural episodes in with the ones that are moon episodes and other sort of episodes of that nature. So, but this is actually something I wanted to talk about for a long time, and it just occurred to me because we probably had about four or five folks that really were bent out of shape. One guy got so rude, I had to kick him out. I had to gag him off the YouTube channel because he's like, you know, cursing at me personally, and I'm just trying to say, dude, just lay it out, man, lay it out. One guy was like, you just tell me what fact you want me to debunk and I'll debunk. And I was like, watch the video, motherfucker, and just take your fucking pick. Jesus Christ, I got to watch my own video and then say, okay, that right there. What do you think about that one? Right there, what do you think of that one? You know. So what's interesting is not everybody who thinks we did go is a jerk or anything. That's why it angers me a little bit, or irritates me, I should say, when someone gets in there and they're like, I'm representing the fat Boy Scouts that think we went to the moon, and you're like, hey man, a lot of people think we went, and they're not like you, so relax. But there is a pattern in people who think we went to the moon. The simplest fact about them is they don't think for themselves. And now they may think for themselves, they may think in terms of engineering solutions. Maybe. Like, they can string facts together in their brain and go, okay, well, because of that, this, A equals B, and that, or, but they don't think for themselves in a political manner. They worry about being on the in crowd. Last guy I met face-to-face who heard that I thought we didn't go, and he definitely thought we did go, he hadn't contemplated it. He's 45 years old. He hadn't contemplated his whole life that we hadn't gone. It was as if every moon hoax episode on TV, every YouTube thing, every conversation had never occurred in his life. When I started asking him about some of the facts of the missions, the facts, you know, we've lost everything, lost the original footage. I mean, God damn, can you imagine the bigger fucking bunch of bullshit lie? We lost the original footage of all the moon missions, or at least Apollo 11. Yeah, as I'm sure it's moving around a lot, right, guys? Right, you know, you haven't learned anything from Hollywood storing things in Iron Mountain, and that is just a bold-faced lie to hide some fragility in the evidence that footage, that film, the canister film ever left the planet. But a bunch of these folks seem to be sort of wearing a jersey in their mind of rah-rah NASA. And if you think about it, you know, when you have something like, I hope I don't get lost in this point, but it's when you have something like NASA and you're like 8 years old, to you it is sort of like the same mystery and wonder as something like your favorite sci-fi movie. You're stuck at home reading books, watching TV, and you're looking at NASA really far away. You weren't there when it formed, right? Now, for those of you who have family members who were a part of it, you are fucked. Like, your ability to pull your head out of your ass is probably almost impossible. Now, we've got some people in the comments that have said that they were able to become lucid after the fact, and that their proximity to NASA was actually a benefit to understanding that we didn't go. And there you go. Give the I Think For Myself trophy to that dude. Because that was hard. Trust me. I was sitting on the outside, just looking at space shuttle posters and that kind of stuff. Getting that, you know, the moon, the moon poster on the side of your wall when you were a kid. You could get this moon poster in the 80s, and it was some fake shot of the moon, and then Earth was in the background. And you could get it up 8 feet, you know, by 10 feet, put it on the side of your wall. So your bed was like up against the moon. It was pretty cool. But it's this fantasy thing. It's this, oh my God, NASA can do anything. And human beings really are going to get to the George Jetson era quicker than we thought. I will be flying around in a car. There will be no more roads, or the roads will be for peasants, right? The other assumption by these people, which if we were more sensitive, we could add the little extra thing of, which is so insulting. They actually think that we want to live in a false world, that we get off on it. They think that we're the people that don't get anything done, that we're just the people that sit around and complain about things. Well, the two guys that debriefed me in 1991 were two former employees of NASA. One with 7 patents related to satellite technology. He had worked there since 1976, as I understand, as a prodigy child, right after he graduated high school at 16 years old. His buddy, I don't know anything about him, other than he worked for the Mars mission. Both of them ended up working for the Mars mission. I'm an engineer. I'm a doer. I've done more unique things in my life than anyone I've ever met. I don't think we went. I didn't like the fact that we didn't go. It's just that when the world tells one lie, or you find one lie in the world by a certain group of people, then you tend to think that, well, maybe this is something that they do for a living. Maybe this is something that they do to extort money out of people. Us, right? Our government, the United States of America, became incredibly corrupt at a pace which was next to no other time in history. As soon as the bullet went through JFK's upper right part of his brain. LBJ's in the back, huddled down in his car with his walkie-talkie. A lot of people didn't think that he was there because usually the president and the vice president aren't allowed to be in the same place at the same time, unless it's some really formal location like the White House or something, or some campaign stop. But he was there. And that's the foundational period where this whole project was announced. It would have been interesting to see if Kennedy had had 2 terms. Would he have gone along with the hoax? Would have been interesting, wouldn't it? But back to the people that think we went and their butthurtness. I don't know. I don't know how much sympathy I have for a grown man not to figure it out. You know, there's an instinctual thing about straight masculine alpha males. It is difficult for us to see weak males. It is. Especially a guy pretending to be alpha who's obviously a beta. Can't think for himself. You know, and there's just, in my personal experience, I've met 2 people that tried to rebut the moon hoax. One, the near half a dozen people I've met that work for NASA who are trying to cover it up. Again, I had two folks debrief me, literally across the lunch table. They told me nothing but everything that they knew. And then next 25 years goes by, and I met, you know, someone who's got massive clearance at NASA. He's a friend of a friend, and they push him down in front of me, and they go, "You two should talk," or they push me down in front of them. And I've had this experience, two very vivid times at least, where the guy was like, "Well," you know, and he's looking around like this, can't make eye contact with me, right? Guy's probably 10 years older than me at least, and he's like, "Anybody thinks we didn't go to the moon is just a fucking asshole," quote unquote. And I'm just sitting there looking straight at the guy. I'm like, well, blam. I mean, last time I did it, I talked about the fact that we have telescopes that should be able to take a picture of all the moon landing areas and, you know, map them so we can see them. NASA's now faked that evidence, and the lunar landers are now four times as large as they normally would be. But I said that to one guy, and he just laughed. He just immediately laughed, and he goes, "Well, there's that." And then we started having the conversation about the fact that we didn't go. This guy has a NASA badge in his pocket. Just immediately flips. No problem. Going to have that conversation. That happened one more time. Different person. Same scenario. Name calling. I mentioned a few things. And then pow. Sadly, none of those things have occurred since I started this show, which would be awesome. But it's not about us winning and them losing or something like that, right? It's not a tit for tat bunch of bullshit. What's, I think for me, what it's about is getting on the same page of lucidity so that we can move on to the next subject. I mean, do you realize that we're still debating something that happened in 1969 to 1972? Really? You know, was Mark Hamill in Star Wars? I don't know. Geez, some people think it was Ted Turner. I don't know. We can't get on with the program. Don't you want to go to the moon? I want to go to the moon. I think that'd be cool. I don't even need a man to go to the moon, quite frankly. I want to send up some robots. We got all these amazing robots jumping around. The guys that I run into today, and I've never run into a female that has any problem with believing that we didn't go to the moon. But I don't walk around with a big sign on my chest saying, do you know what happened? They've been lying to you. I don't say anything at all. It's always someone else bringing it up. But women cave really, really quickly because they don't care. It's not part of their chest, right? But the guys that care, my, they do remind me of your sort of Eagle Scout kind of guy. Followed all the rules. Their pins and badges and ropes and all that kind of stuff on their gear was because they did what they were told. And they got good at it. They're not bad people. None of these people are bad people. But they'll get angry about what you're saying. And they also try to engage in censorship. They'll sort of play out their own fears to you, projecting and saying, "Well, don't tell anyone else this unless you look like you're crazy." It's like, oh, well, that's what they're worried about. They're worried about looking crazy. Again, the integrity of truth with the capital T in the universe has no value to them because to them, every day is a battle and a struggle to get to the next stage of whatever. Accolade, reward, whatever, right? And again, let's loop back to the family members. For the family members, the sons and daughters of folks that participated in the Apollo project, because they did participate in a NASA project. And I think that they initially fear that we're saying that that didn't occur. It's like, no. The IQ of your relative is probably solid and intact. And it wasn't their responsibility because they were compartmentalized that the end product simply went into low orbit and the lunar lander was duplicated on a soundstage. And, you know, Alphabet Agency folks hidden inside, you know, NASA, or, you know, astronaut outfits with gold-plated things so you can't see who they are. That has no bearing on your family member. But their family has been telling everyone that their family did something that no other family member did, which is still true. You were selected to work on probably one of the most covert, aggressive scientific projects since the Manhattan Project. There's accolades to be had. You know, at some point in the history of being a human, each individual has to figure out their self-worth. And they have to isolate things inside their mind that says, this is true, therefore I have value to the universe, right? Self-worth. For some people, it's a talent. They are the people that participate directly in the Apollo missions. They're a scientist, they're a mathematician. For others, they might play a game of golf or paint on a canvas. But for a lot of folks that have problems with the moon hoax, somehow they have connected themselves to this event. Now, for those who are family members of those who participated in the Apollo projects and all the other projects before that, it's a very simple equation. It's a very simple cause and effect model. Their family member, who they are related to, participated. Therefore, those genetics come down to them, and hopefully they've done really well in the world themselves, and they go, look, the reason why I do really well is because my family's got a lot of smart people in it. And did I tell you that one of my relatives worked on the moon? So you should take all your clothes off right now and jump in the sack with me. Or pay me more money at the company that, you know, I'm potentially getting hired at, right? They sit around at bars, sit around at smoke lounges, reciting all of the facts that they've been told out of coffee books. But they go on and on about the mission details. And people in the room that don't have the ability to remember, they don't care, those people look like geniuses. Just reciting things. Again, go back to the fake intelligence episode and realize, at best, they're impersonating a smart person. Now, for those that don't have family members involved with the project, it's a real interesting thing. It's a real interesting thing to figure out how people get attached to this. I would assume that anyone who was attached to the moon missions just absolutely by sitting in your living room or being, again, younger than me and reading some book and find, you know, just having this attachment to their chest, if that's what happened. It's a little baffling to me, to be honest. I mean, imagine that they would be a staunch Republican in this country. But then again, the last guy I met was... it's so funny. I was in a public place with this individual on two different occasions. And one, they had a guy who was bagging on Trump. And this person immediately caves to sort of get along with this guy. And I don't know what his political opinion is personally, but it seemed fake, his caving. And it seems like he just panders to whoever's in the room. It's kind of weird. And then we were at lunch together, and the subject of the moon came up. I don't even know how that came up, man. I did not mention it personally, to my knowledge. And he went into the, really? You're a crazy guy? Younger than me. And I thought, wow, that's unbelievable. Like, I'm on the very cusp of, you know, 7 years old. If I want to say I started my linear thinking at seven, that's 1976. So that's 4 years after the moon missions. So how's a guy who didn't get there until the 80s so, I don't know, sold and convicted to believe in the moon, believe in NASA in general, right? Has no employment history with NASA whatsoever. When mentioning some of the smoking guns, never heard of them before. And he didn't have his eyes widened. You know, most of us would have somebody, if somebody said, hey, you know what, is this conspiracy? And, you know, good conspiracies allow you to look at the observable world and just judge it for what it is, right? Just look at the footage and say, okay, hey, man, if you take the moon footage and speed it up to 2x, it's real time. Okay. Well, you think that's 1/6 gravity? What are you, nuts? But to some people, it's, again, it's like they are the, not the political reporter NPC, but sort of the NPC that's like Westworld. They're the androids, you know? And they simply look at you and say, oh, it doesn't look like anything to me. And it's interesting. But the world's waking up. And that's why I'm sort of making this episode, is because of the preponderance of people that are very positive and have given their own brilliant observation and path to waking up to the moon hoax. It's powerful. It's powerful to watch these people talk about it, and you're like, my God, in some of these comments, there's at least half a dozen comments of over 100 comments where people have experienced things at a much deeper level. They could make the episode about it being a moon hoax, at least. It'd be very convincing to someone like myself. One person mentioned, you know, having a family member deep in the project and having to go to all the events after the moon landing because there were celebratory things happening, and each and every time they went back for these celebratory events and more faux evidence was, you know, blown up or passed out or talked about, they just started looking at it and going, oh my God, this stuff looks fake. And that's a lot of Bart Sobrell's thing when he said his father was in the Air Force and they sent out a booklet that he then, I think, took apart and made, you know, a big collage on his wall. And he said that once he saw a documentary in the 80s about a gentleman who worked at the highest level of documentation on the Apollo project, and he knows that we didn't go, and he's explaining it, and he said, Bart said, I saw that special, and then I walked in there and looked at my pictures, and I thought, it looks fake all of a sudden. He could finally see all the anomalies and the color correction problems that they weren't able to do, you know, between the soil and the background and that kind of stuff. But the number one thing that I run into with people that are supposedly debunking, especially like the guy that I had to boot out of the comments section, is they won't view the material and review it as we have said, look, the guy in the buggy, the moon buggy, doesn't move. I rewatched a bunch of that stuff thinking maybe I had that wrong. That is a astronaut suit that's been inflated, probably full of some minor padding or something, and it is just on this thing. Whether it's a miniature or not, there's certain shots that really look like it's a miniature. Others look like it might be real size. There was a guy who, I saw a video where a gentleman had a lot of experience with dune buggies in general, and he said, you know, the tail, they kept coming off the tires. He goes, that was 1-1 gravity. He goes, the arc of that is not at least bit freed up by the lack of gravity. I mean, 1/6 gravity, man? Seriously. You want to know how little 1/6 gravity is? Just imagine you get paid $10 an hour and I only give you 1/6 of it, okay? You are not getting slightly the majority of the money. And these rooster tails coming off the back of these tires would be probably in the air for quite a while. It'd just sit there and kind of, I gotta, you know, wait for gravity to pull me down. That'd be the case in every situation, if it is truly 1/6 gravity, right? I think gravity for a planet can be calculated by its diameter against ethereal winds. So, you know, if the plasma inside the core of the Earth, it swims around, right? So you're going to have maybe some pockets where things get through, and this is where you have meridian lines inside the bowels of the Earth, as well as ether could be hitting the outside of the plasma ball inside the crust of the Earth, and then it could, you know, make a turn. You know, it could skim the surface and then bounce out at a different place. You know, it would have variable gravity all over the Earth like we see, right? But what I haven't experienced, okay, is sitting down with someone. I mean, this would be a great experience. Again, they do this to Joe Rogan, unfortunately. The poor guy didn't have the science background to back it up. If he knew as much science as he did mixed martial arts, he would be kicking the living shit out of everybody who lies to him that we did go. I think he thinks, I mean, the only thing I can assume is that one of two things has happened to Joe Rogan. Someone has basically given some advice saying, if you want to sell your show into syndication, you got to get off this conspiracy Alex Jones crap, because they became friends at one point. You're never going to make your millions of dollars. But if you do get off this train that is the moon hoax train, we'll get you syndicated, we'll get you rewarded, and you can move on. Maybe that was it. Or maybe, and this happens in celebrity circles, and again, if you don't have a big background to fight back, then you're just going to have to take it. I mean, it's okay. He's not, you know, I don't think he's trying to commit any sins in the world of the people. I mean, if he became a shill and took the first deal, maybe, right? But people will claim that they have super high clearance or something like that. They're from the State Department or whatever, and they'll come up to Joe at some event and say, "Hey, you know, I heard that you don't think we went to the moon. Well, I can assure you we did. And it just wasn't the way that you think," and blah, 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 blah. And Joe's like, "Hey, man, I don't want to fight. You know, I'm just trying to be funny on a microphone and get people to think a little bit about some cool subjects with Graham Hancock. Okay, dude, we went to the moon, right?" And he would need something else for him to cross back over the line, right? I've never had someone sit down and just do to me what I do to other folks, which is once someone wants to know, like they're excited, they're like, "Man, why do you think we didn't go to the moon?" And I'm like, "Okay, well, you got some time? Yeah, sure. Cut that cigar. Let's light it up. Let's get you going." And then boom, 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 right? Pictures on my phone. We got a TV usually. We're blasting some YouTube videos. Just giving analogies in the room. Get up and do physical analogies, you know, so people can understand how ludicrous this whole thing is. The big one, again, you guys can say to your friends is, look, the average distance to the moon, which has changed quite a bit, I apologize, but if I use the 237 one, 237,000 miles of an elliptical orbit of the moon, which doesn't seem elliptical at all to me, but anyway, if you divide a ceiling, floor to ceiling, like an average wall, 8-foot wall, by centimeters, just, it works out really well with centimeters. You have 237 centimeters from the bottom of the floor to the top of your ceiling to represent 1,000 miles for every centimeter from the bottom of the floor to the ceiling. Man has only been proven to be 2 millimeters off the ground, which is 200 miles. That much I think we've proven. So they want you to believe that in the very first time they attempted, they went from the bottom. You know, this is Apollo 8 and I think 10, all the way to the moon, circled the moon and came all the way back safely, right? Safely. Every single time it works. And what baffles me is sometimes folks have engineering backgrounds and they know better. But they're using their blubbery beta level personality to keep the defense up, right? But no one has sat me down and just debunked it. Now, back in 2005-ish, when I finally first saw Bart Sobrell's movie and went through it, NASA had a debunk page. And I remember spending quite a few days inside the debunk page. It was awful. It was so awful that I don't think the pages exist anymore. I don't know. I have a relative that builds that site, but there's something called the smoking gun, and I might end up making an episode called Smoking Gun. But it has to do with once you see it, you can't unsee it, right? When one thing is a hoax, everything is a hoax. Now imagine, let's give an analogy of an example of this. Now, there was some footage I put inside of the episode 311. Which was, I think, I can't remember what mission it was, where supposedly a guy walked onto the set, picked up some debris, and walked off the set. Now, one of you said that that was a fake and that a guy who did it confessed as to its fakeness. And so I wrote back, "Fine, link me the video that you say this guy faked it," because I have an intimate knowledge base of all the tools he would have used to make it. And so we'll just look at it, you know, and I said that maybe someone had faked it, but I've seen the fake is really good because somebody said that they, and I've looked at other footage as well of that exact shot. And I thought that they had captured the partial shadow in the shot, but maybe it is a fake. That's cool. If it is, I apologize for putting it in my 311 episode. Well, let's just say that that wasn't a fake, but that was real. Then you got a problem, right? You got something that happened on camera that's a problem. Now, the one thing I forgot to put in my 311 episode is the flag flopping around the vacuum of space, right? And I wasn't cognitively alive when this was occurring, so I didn't see the fact that in each one of the moon missions, they made a ceremony out of putting that flag in the ground and saluting Earth, supposedly, right, from this moon set. But every single time they stood next to the flag, well, they're obviously creating a little bit of turbulence in the room, the wind. And so the flag would respond. Most of the time it responded, I guess, this is according to an interview I just saw of another guy who had crawled out of the interview, or sorry, crawl out of the, excuse me, the moon mission validity in an interview with Bart Sobrell. But he said on one of them, a guy swung his hand, and boy, that flag just went woof and did a whole belly flop in the middle of the vacuum of space. And again, this is where they say that feet that are far away from the pole are supposedly banging the pole, and the kinetic energy transfers up into the pole and manages to kinetically transfer into cloth. I mean, seriously, any of you guys that are just even minor scientists, please debunk that for anybody who has any problem. Cloth does not have a lot of kinetic transfer capabilities. It might have a transverse wave that you could inject by putting in a tremendous, you know, transverse wave push at the very beginning, like when you take your bed sheets. You ever taken your comforter on top of your bed and you whip it? You know, even as a housewife, that that transverse wave dies super fast and it barely hits the other side with the same momentum. It's like a quarter to a fifth of the momentum on the other side, because cloth does not transfer kinetic energy well. Okay. Anyway, when you see a smoking gun, it's over. The official story gets chucked out the door. The moon missions have so many smoking guns. You know, the portal doors, and this is something I mentioned and I lost my point in 311, which is, you have a 2-foot door and a 3-foot wide astronaut. Never any photographs or movies of them coming out of that hole. One of the other big super smoking guns is that they never took a video camera ever, and started a shot and turned it towards Earth and then pulled it back. Why? Because they could not possibly fake that inside of a rectangular studio building. So 6 missions successfully land on the moon, and not a single astronaut takes a camera and points it at the Earth? Oh, and they'll probably give you some aperture, burn out the film, bullshit excuse. Well, if you can film any part of the moon's surface with reflection, you're talking about more lumens / nits coming off that baby than would ever be coming off the Earth. Ever, right? In fact, the amount of shots from the Earth, of the Earth, are minimal, because they are so hard to fake, because you have to have a high-res negative of the Earth to then splice in to the negative, right? In the HBO show Westworld, one of the funniest things in the first episode is that they stumble on a photograph that is of the outside world, and a woman standing in what looks like New York or San Francisco, the nice modern building in the background, some traffic going by, and she's smiling. It's like a little 5x7. Or 3x5, probably 3x5. And the rancher, who is Dolores' father, finds it, and he sits in his rocking chair on the porch looking at this thing, because it didn't look like anything like he's ever seen before. And for some reason, he can see it. He shows it to his daughter, and she says the line, "Well, it doesn't look like anything to me." He stays up all night looking at this photograph, because for him, that was a deal breaker. It was a smoking gun that wherever he was, there was another place. And it hearkened to the code in his robotic origin that his whole world's a facade. But let me ask you guys in the second half of this thing. Are there lies that we should tell to protect the integrity of the world? What if we had a epic battle with angels and demons? We're just sort of the fodder in between, but I mean, angels start dropping out of the sky, demons start crawling out of the bowels of the earth or whatever. I hate that analogy, but whatever. They get here, and they're just having at it. It's not Judgment Day. It's just something, this is just, they have to do this. And now humans on Earth unequivocally know that there are angels and there are demons. There's a God. There's a devil. That everything we read in the Bible is true. Whoa. But we go maybe a century after this event, and we realize that the quality of life just deteriorated considerably. Why? Because man lost choice. Now all those rules about do and don't, well, they mean a hell of a lot more, don't they? The John Podesta pedophile, the Joe Biden pedophile, They now look at their deeds and they say, oh my God, I'm going to hell. I better repent. I better never ever do this. I better confess to the world that's who I am. One case, one of those gentlemen murdered a little girl with his brother. So 100 years, the 100-year anniversary of the war ending, we look around and go, man, this has turned into a miserable place. Now, obviously, if there was a God, I doubt that this would be allowed to continue. But just for the sake of an analogy that's crazy, but makes a point, will we ever start concealing the truth of that so that we could get back to a world where we can make choices again? We didn't know the exact rules of the universe, but we do have a sense of right and wrong, right? All these people have senses of right and wrong. They do. My concern about this is that if we have a subspecies of human beings, and that is what they are, they cannot think for themselves. They put the pride of these things over the integrity of truly existing in the world as it is. There better be a good goddamn reason why that's occurring. And, you know, who knows? We haven't been privileged with the global truth of all minds in this world history, right? We think that there's zero-point energy systems all over the place, but we haven't been able to learn about them. Like we learned the multiplication tables when we were kids. A lot of people worry about, you know, gray aliens and what their objectives might be. I mean, the more this election in 2018 goes by, I just think about John Carpenter's They Live. And I'm almost convinced that every single elected Democrat is one of them. At least the top super PAC. I mean, doesn't Pelosi look just exactly like that woman that Ronnie Piper found in the grocery store with his glasses on? Well, you're one of them. The lies and deceit and evil in some of these folks is just astonishing, right? They call good people bad people. I saw an ad run. I'm just going to digress for a split second because we're trying to talk about the integrity of the human being here towards the end. I've seen Democratic political ads on YouTube as I'm trying to surf through videos doing research, and it was every single thing that Donald Trump has actually delivered, they said that it hadn't been delivered, like tax cuts, supporting the veterans, something that the Democrats didn't do, and the previous Republican administrations, like everyone before Trump, up to maybe Kennedy, right? But they took every single thing that Trump has accomplished, said that it hadn't been accomplished, and that if you didn't vote blue, then none of this was ever going to get accomplished. Well, that'd be amazing for the idiot that believed that ad. That's someone who couldn't possibly be paying attention to their reality. Some young kid or something, right? They just turned 18 and can vote or something. And then, of course, once, if they were to go blue, they just turn around and say, see, it's all done. We already did it because Trump did it, right? And they'll just, it's like that scene in Dragon Slayer, right? Where they finally kill the dragon and the king stands on the dragon. He's like this frail old guy that can barely walk and he stumbles up on top of the dragon and some, you know, dude reads off this declaration about how the king killed the dragon when this is a kid who did it, right? That's the scum of the earth, man. Those kind of people. But now Donald Trump loves saying that we landed on the moon, doesn't he? I think in his position, well, one, he may believe it. I don't know that he cares much about science on that level. I'm sure he cares about the end objective and that kind of thing. And, you know, quite frankly, if we ever have been to the moon, it may have been through a completely different means of some secret, you know, space program, right? But then that's sort of something we can't debate because we, the people, don't have any knowledge of it whatsoever. We have probably never seen a rocket that can do it, a ship that can do it. We've never seen a photograph of anyone on the moon, personally, if that ever occurred. And again, the study of the Van Allen belts, which there's a couple of commenters saying, they'll just kind of come in and say, well, those things don't exist, or they're not that intense, and then they'll walk off. It's like the guy saying, tell me any point about the moon hoax that you think makes it fake, and I'll tell you how it's actually true? Go ahead, tell me. And I'm sitting there going, just do it yourself, man. Just get Microsoft Word. I mean, YouTube lets you post these massive comments. You can post pages and pages of comments, right? All in one post, right? But the other thing, too, is go make your own video, dude. If you're the massive debunker, well, then I guarantee you'll have 4 times the views I get if you can prove that we win. In fact, why don't you go in your backyard and build the motherfucker and go, right? Jesus. NASA is one employee short if you think we went and you think you know how we went, right? You're the smartest person in the world. So funny. I have one rather close friend who thinks we went. And he's a very unique case. We can talk about it. And he's very friendly. He's very friendly about it. He knows that I think we didn't go. And he knows that I know that he thinks we did go. He doesn't have anything but, like, let's just say that the conversation needed to be 1 hour to discuss the evidence against the moon in a rapid-fire manner, right? He might have 5 minutes of rebuttal. So out of all the topics that can be mentioned, he only knows a little about 5% of the complete debunking claims that have been, you know, piped into him from NASA. Oh, well, I heard this because of that. You know, you can't see stars because of the aperture of the camera, and he's a big camera guy, right? And so I think that's interesting. The other thing is that he bottoms out super duper fast. And he'll say to me that he's religious. Well, you know, I'm religious and I believe in aliens. And so he has absolutely bought hook, line, and sinker that there's aliens on the moon. And so I look at this individual and I say, you know, obviously he's a sweet guy, no problem there. He would do anything for you, that kind of guy, right? Really true blue, good friend. But he loves fiction. He loves fiction. There's other things that he worships that are very fictional, and it's great. He has made himself a really wonderful human being by believing all this fiction. Religion makes people good people in some cases, and all they're believing in is fiction. All right. Is that you really want to disturb that guy's path in life? You want to make him cynical? You want to make him wake up the next day and he's drinking a fifth of vodka because he realized we didn't go to the moon and the whole world's different than he thought? That guy, in my opinion, is never going to be prepared for the truth. And that's his challenge. And so what he has done brilliantly is not rock the boat for his consciousness. He knows he can't handle it. I will say that he is also, to his credit, not a person who uses his religion to tell others that they're going to hell. Okay. Sometimes you run into those folks too. Well, you know, I'm going to tell you how it is, and I because I have all the coveted knowledge that determines whether or not you go to heaven or hell. I'm really important in your life, and you know, if you make me angry, I won't even tell you what's going to get you to hell, right? There's those people. We've all met them, right? Just because someone gets older doesn't mean they actually grew up. That's something I learned at a really young age. And it was sort of confusing to me. You know, it was like, I was like 9 years old, and I'm looking at people in their 30s and in their kind of, their children. They can't deal with anything or deal with a lot of what life throws at them. And part of me is just going, how is that possible? How is it possible that you've been on this earth so long and you're not using your time to enrich your pool of information, your ability to think for yourself and to deduce things? And, you know, later you find out that, you know, your formative years are extremely important. Between 0 and 18, at least in the United States of America, when you have to go out and get a job, typically, you can choose to go earlier than that, but at 18, you're going to get kicked out. You're going to at least go to college. But at some point, you have to pay the bills, right? And at that point, I think a human being goes into stasis. They slow down their academic prowess because they're busy. They're trying to work. If they learn anything, it's to do their craft better so they can make more money and get promoted. You know, some folks have children. And, you know, your average stay-at-home mom, God bless you guys. I hope your trend blows up in this world. Trust me. You're busy with children. And maybe you don't use YouTube and conspiracy videos to keep yourself entertained when you get a moment to yourself, right? Maybe you're getting a mani-pedi or something, right? Whatever you can do to recharge your battery from taking care of children. I understand that, right? I am from the Midwest, old school, where virtually everyone's an alpha male. And we view things that a man is responsible for protecting his family. And one, becoming the best human being you can be, obviously, but then in the end, to protect your family. And I think that information is part of the protection system. And so you have information that needs to be protected from your family, and you have information that needs to be brought into your family. Protection information. Let's talk about that for a split second. Let's say Dad went off to Vietnam and saw a bunch of horrific stuff. He needs to protect his family from the horrors that don't need to be spoken about at the kitchen table. There are, you know, I don't know if it's still a big booming industry anymore, but pornographic material that perverts everything about a human being's brain, right? About what partners actually want in this world. You know, it gets crazy. But they have to protect their kids from bad content that will corrupt them. I think it also needs to go down to pop science. We need to keep our kids away from any lecture at school that talks about, you know, climate change / global warming bullshit, right? It's a complete fucking facade. The smartest people on this planet, including, you know, the head meteorologist at MIT, knows it's fake and has said as much, right? So we have to keep our kids at home as long as we possibly can so we teach them. And then when they go out into the public schools, and hopefully you can get into a private school, you've got to monitor what your kids are learning so you can counteract any bad information. So that's part of what a parent has to do. And mothers do this as well, of course. But then there's information that your kids need. When you think about your child, or even someone else's kid, you don't have a kid yet, you're going to have kids, whatever, you never had them, but you understand this paradigm. You don't want your kid to be physically abused in any way, shape, or form. If you have a daughter, you don't want her to get in, you know, with the wrong boy or get in the wrong party and get into some bad situation. But at a minimum level, you don't want your kid to come back, you know, some crazy religious person and telling the whole family they're going to hell. I have a cousin that did this. She went out and married a guy who's very Christian, very religious, like one of these families that lives out in the woods, and they just think that you just slip over this line and, boy, you're going to hell. So we have to protect the minds of our kids. We also want their eyes wide open, right? Now, the moon mission is a great way to teach your kids, I think, unfortunately, okay, that sometimes lies are told. And again, this could be a lie that's told because we were trying to bankrupt the Soviet Union. We were trying to conceal a missile program into a space program. I don't think there was a single employee at NASA, and I really mean this 1,000%. I don't think there was a single employee at NASA that was working on the Apollo missions and all the previous missions that didn't want to go to the moon. Of course they wanted to go. Why wouldn't they, right? It's a hell of a thing to start digging into this rabbit hole and finding out that it wasn't what you thought it was. That it was a lie. You may actually go through the full Kubler-Ross thing, anger, denial, negotiation, and acceptance. I can't remember really being upset at all. I was fascinated. I was fascinated that this thing was forged. For those that can't believe it, obviously they're still stuck in anger. Maybe they tap into denial. And what's interesting is sometimes these folks are very, very successful in their personal lives, you know, their business lives. And so they think that, hey, I have a way of thinking, and that way of thinking is very successful for me. And so I have a way of thinking about the moon missions. I have a way of thinking about those people that think we didn't go. And I don't feel good about those people because they're forcing me to go through something that's going to make me angry. I don't like to be angry. I don't like to be in denial. I don't like to debate the facts of my life. And I don't have to accept it in the end because I'm my own human being. And that's the real truth of the game. Yeah, you don't have to believe. It doesn't really you know, bother me that much. I think that being rude in public about it is where I draw the line to where, again, you're not going to get an invitation to the next meeting if you can't, you know, debate sensibly about things. Something occurred to me. I keep obsessing on, I think, which is one of the weakest links, which is when the module, the top of the lunar module that pops off and comes back up to rendezvous with the capsule and go home. And again, it has this teeny tiny 2-foot aperture to crawl through, right? And supposedly, I guess maybe they can take their suits off and go through with their human bodies. That would work great. But I am unaware, okay, of any mission where this device was put in low orbit in Earth orbit, 200 miles up, and they tested at all the little retro cone rockets. You know, you see this thing do these, it's absolutely right out of 2001 A Space Odyssey. For any one of you who haven't seen 2001 A Space Odyssey all the way through, I want you to get into that film, look at the pod that they created in the film, where the occupants of the Odyssey would go outside to fix things or move around. And the way that it turns and spins and does all of its rotation with a model that's, I think, mounted on a plate of glass or robotic cameras or something, it's exactly how this unit moves when it's rendezvousing with this capsule, with the background of the moon rotating, right, which is that big giant clay model they made. They didn't know this thing would work. They didn't know that those little cones were ever going to work properly. And so you have a device that has never been tested once, not once, before Apollo 11. Well, now, as Bart Sabrell said, when they made the 747, they had at least 30 years of aviation in their pocket before they started making this plane. It took 3 more years to get finished, meaning a 13-year design span to get this plane working, this jet. We already had other jets, right? And it took over 160 attempts to get it off the ground. So you fly it down a runway and you try to pull up the rudders and nothing happens. You can't get off the ground. You don't have enough thrust. There's not enough lift in the wing design. But this unit left the moon's surface and rendezvoused, and it looks exactly like a fictional movie made by Stanley Kubrick. Right? Doug Trumbull is one of the big guys that worked on that film. There's a whole story behind Doug Trumbull. And once 2001 Space Odyssey was over, he was very, very confident in himself. And one of the greatest criticisms in meeting this gentleman is that he would never give you the time of day. One director was trying to hire him for his movie, and he went inside the office and he was trying to talk to the guy. They had a meeting and he took phone call after phone call every 30 to seconds to 2 minutes, and was never paying attention to the director. And finally the guy just walked out of the room and said, "You're not the guy to work on my film. You don't give a shit my project even exists." And so it was very interesting. What would make someone so amazingly confident? Obviously talent. But I think that contributing to the Apollo missions would be huge. And, you know, you could contribute to 2001 A Space Odyssey and not do another thing and walk off and start making movies. And you're saying, all that stuff that's on the moon hoax, that's my technology. If any of you have seen 2001 A Space Odyssey, one of the beginning scenes in the kind of second half of the first act is the pin that's floating. The guy had fallen asleep in his chair and this beautiful pin is floating in the air, and this stewardess comes up really slow and grabs it and puts it in his pocket. And the way they did this special effect is a big giant sheet of glass, and they'd stuck the pin to it, and they're just moving the piece of glass. It's just absolutely brilliant, right? And so the pod is a more three-dimensional rotational object in the movie, and it's rotating and turning and stopping exactly the way that this module comes up to the capsule to go home. That, for me, is just a massive smoking gun. Why wouldn't they take this thing in low orbit, push it out, and say, okay, we're not even going to get in it. We're just going to use a big wire, and we're going to, you know, use a little remote control controller and see if these little retro things work. Because this thing has to work. Because if it can't dock, if it misses, you realize if that thing were to miss the door and then just start going off, you're never going to get it again. Especially those little those little retro rocket things on the outside don't work. It's really hard to talk about this and not get into some of those situations. I have met folks that believe we went to the moon that can lament on about any special effect you want to discuss. Tell you exactly how they did it. And then you go, okay, great. Look at this footage right here of Apollo 11. Oh, well, that's real. Well, so it looks exactly like the other footage, right? One of my closest friends in Hollywood, who is legendary for a lot of amazing special effects, when we started hanging out at his house, he is the ideal guy that believed we went to the moon, because he is intelligent and he's able to have a conversation about it. And so he, over the course of, I think maybe 6 months or so, we had a couple really good sessions, and he respects me dearly, which is a big benefit, of course, for me. But I remember, I don't know, we probably had two evenings together, and we were working on some properties of his at the time, and I came like second or third time or whatever, and he always made these drinks for me. He's a master at making a Manhattan, I'll tell you that. And he said, so he looks over his little island in his kitchen, this beautiful townhouse he had, and he just looks at me, and the first thing he said on this other visit, he goes, so we never went to the moon. And I said, no, I don't think we did. You know, and he goes, I've been all over this thing since last time we met. And he goes, you know me, I know how all these special effects are done. And he goes, once I started taking my 40-year portfolio of special effects, and this guy's legendary for his special effects, and started looking at all these shots, I saw it all. He goes, first thing I noticed was all the light sources on all the images from the moon. He goes, I can't believe I didn't see it before. No one had suggested to me to even look, right? I mean, so again, yours truly, you know, I hate to ever say, you know, anything that's remotely like, I'm so special, you should believe me more than you should believe your mother or your father or whatever. I hate saying anything like that, right? You know, when Alex Jones said he talked to the Q team, oh my God, this poor bastard, I swear to God, he really blew it not getting on the Q Anon project, regardless of what that guy is. I think he's extremely real nowadays. I don't know why he lied about the moon thing, but I don't know why Trump lies about it either. It's just one of these things, maybe they just go, look, it's better that we just keep this going, because on my shift, like, we're not gonna tell the world that NASA lied about the moon missions on my shift, because that's gonna undermine the confidence in government at a time when the government's having the deep state cleaned out, right? So let it happen 10, 20 years from now. And I think it will at some point, right? But I've been super fortunate. I am interested in all things. All things, right? And I think a lot of you are too. And it's a curse. It's an absolute curse. It's more of a curse in my home where I've got, you know, a bunch of guitars. I still got kind of remnants of my music studio hanging out. I'm like, oh my God, I really want to make some music, but I've got movies to write and I've got other technology to invent and innovate, and it's tough to walk around. But I also want to kick back and enjoy an episode of Frasier. You know, I want to just find out how great writers write perfect comedy, you know. I can speak for myself, and that for any of you, and I doubt anyone made it to the end of this episode who still believes we went to the moon, but if you're open-minded enough to get to this particular point, let me just tell you, I'm not here to piss on your parade, man. You're looking at a guy that really, really, really wanted to believe that we went. But you know what? When I finally came to terms with the fact that we didn't go, a whole nother thing happened inside my soul, which was like, all right, let's go. Let's do this, right? Don't you want to do this? Do you believe that man can? I think we can. We just need to start being really honest with ourselves about it. Let's not set a 10-year deadline. I mean, I know that a goal without a deadline is a dream. I understand that perfectly well. I'm a doer. I want to get things done. I think that, you know, one of the, I think that statement, a goal without a deadline is a dream, is really for someone who is just getting into their goals. It's brand new to them. I don't know, you know, I've gotten some goals in my lifetime, but I've never really strategically sat down and said, I'm going to do something new that I've never done before. Write your first movie. That'll kick your ass, boy. But once you've done it, the mindset that is fruitful every single day for an organization like Space Force or something like that, right, would be everyone involved every single day wants to be finished every single day at the end of the day. Meaning, if we want to go to the moon, then everyone involved, at the end of the day, their goal is to figure it all out. And as long as that's your daily regimen and your daily internal goal, it doesn't matter what the actual deadline is, because everyone involved wants this thing finished as soon as possible. Because let's just say that we develop a vehicle that can get to the moon. Looks nothing like a Saturn V. It uses anti-gravity. It's got an infinite energy system inside of it. Whatever. Well, the second we step out on the moon safely, we're not being killed by radiation and heat and cold and all that stuff, and we roam around, and we get back in, and we come home, now what? We got a whole multi-century, millennial plan for the moon. We want to build space stations, right? We want to build a place where we could send human beings to live safely. Do a lot of experimentation on what is the moon? What is that place up there? What made all these perfectly symmetrical things we've been calling craters? You know, maybe we find out it's completely lethal to be there. We step out on the moon and we just, some meridian plasma invisible force comes out of the moon's surface, creates a little crater looking thing and fries one of the astronauts. And we're like, oh my God, I guess you're not supposed to touch the surface, because as soon as you touch the surface, it digs a little streamy hole. It goes straight down to the plasma core, and then out comes a plasma spout like Yellowstone and kills the astronaut, which is why we got to send robots up there first, right? Rovers. I want to see it in my lifetime. I do. For all of us that were too young to see it and remember it as children, our whole thing was, well, eventually we'll go. I mean, I completed the 80s looking at, you know, popular science magazines, Scientific American magazines, tons of books on the subject matter, Omni magazine, which was always selling some ticket to the moon. It was really funny. How many times have we seen people sell tickets to orbit the moon? I think Elon Musk is trying to pawn that shit off right now with the SpaceX company. How many people? The Russians have sold tickets. No one is gone. No one is gone. Oh, interesting. I mean, these billionaires that buy these, you know, what is it, $250 million tickets? Does their money ever get transferred anywhere? Does it ever sit in escrow? Is it just one of these, here's your golden ticket and get out of here now because it's never going to happen? Tell your friends, we named a star after you. If you're a truther, you know you live in this sort of conflicted universe a little bit. It's becoming a lot easier. You're trying to find the truth in all things. You're trying to redevelop sciences to be true. You're trying to figure out the social structure and substrate of humanity so that we can understand why we are so easily gullible into hating each other. You're trying to figure out everything. Does your toothpaste have fluoride that rots your pineal gland in your teeth? You're trying to figure these things out. Does a microwave actually pulverize food compounds into food elements that become toxic in your body? But as you're trying to safeguard yourself first, your family next, and the world third, you have this group of people who are unwilling to go through any stage of the Kubler-Ross effect, and they are your obstacle. They are the inertia of the universe that stops the molecule from shaking, from the idea going to the next brain, because they're butthurt. They're children, in my opinion. We all have a little kid inside of ourselves, right? Almost all of us do, right? I'm not sure I was ever born with one, but I can go to Disneyland and have a good time. That probably makes me a kid. I see through all the commercialism that's been wrapped around every single ride, and I see Walt Disney. Do I ever see Walt Disney? But, you know, it was written in the Bible that Christ told us to be childlike. And I think there's some point in the Bible in the New Testament where he says, obviously, where he's pointing at a kid and he tells someone, you know, be like that kid. And it's a very interesting thing to say that, because it's a very risky thing to say that, right? Well, you're saying don't mature, don't grow up. I don't think that's what he was saying. or the writers of the book. They're saying don't lose your goal of ideology, of optimism. Everyone knows that, well, there's that saying, right? Life's a bitch and then you die. I hate that saying more than you could possibly imagine, because that is spoken by someone who lost their inner child a long time ago, right? They had a bad stage in life and they died, or they saw people die, or whatever. They think that's the way it goes. And so they demonize every moment that they're alive, that their suffering is just what it is. It has to be suffering and you can never get out of it, and then you die. Well, I think most of us, at least in our 30s or 40s, we have one person from our childhood, from high school, whatever, that has no clue what that means. They lived a charmed life. They had great parents, a great world. They've had a great job. They had the family. Maybe the wife stays home the entire time. I got a buddy of mine from the game industry. I got him in the game industry a long time ago. He has lived one of those great lives. Now, he struggled with his job and from time to time because the game industry is up and down constantly, but he always lands on his feet. He's landed on his feet recently. Plenty of money in the bank. He's accomplished a tremendous amount of things. He's worked on all kinds of name brand video games. If I walked up to him and said, life's a bitch and then you die, he would look at me like, what's wrong? Are you depressed? Is that why you're telling me that? Right? He knows I would be projecting my own internal loss towards him. I don't feel it's like that way at all. But I worry that folks that can't explore the moon hoax information, that just the smoking guns after smoking guns, that they believe that if they were to believe one fact, one smoking gun about the moon missions not being real, that they believe the world turns into life's a bitch and then you die. And it's not the truth at all. You know, when you're a kid, don't you remember your, well, some of you don't, but I think the majority, hopefully, of you do. You had a great time when you were a kid. For all of its bumps and scrapes and bruises, you had a really good time when you were a kid. Whatever you did. And then you look back on that and we reminisce, right? We're like, oh God, it was so fun to be in high school. It was so fun to be whatever age was your favorite age. But you know, all good things come to an end is what they say too. Well, it's no doubt that life brings you, you know, sour grapes every once in a while, but that's why you can enjoy the bowl of cherries every once in a while, because you know. I just think that we have to have the courage to grow up. And we do not have to demonize everything simply because something didn't turn out to be the way we were told, the way we thought it was going to go, right? I hope you feel me on this episode. A lot of the comments are similar in archetype, which is great. They will say, they'll start off with a line that says something like, what did it for me was, boom, boom, boom. Regardless of their education, whether it be a massive education, someone's walking around with a PhD in astrophysics or something, or they're just a guy that works on carburetors all day, or a housewife that's raising four kids. There's something that they see in the presented evidence of the moon landings that makes them go, what? Yeah, I don't think so. And that's the little thread in the sweater that they pull. And once they pull it out, the whole thing unravels. And, you know, again, they might go through various stages of emotional distress. But eventually they come to grips with it. And the only thing that's really frustrating moving forward is that NASA hasn't been reorganized to cease the line. Like, NASA could simply say, hey, we're not on Mars. We're not circling Mars. We're not going to the moon anytime soon. It's just not our objective. Not because we can't, right? You know, they can't, but they just stop lying, right? I think as human beings, if you've ever experimented as a child with telling a fib, you realize right away you're creating a very intense burden for yourself to remember the lie. And to remember, okay, well, how did I say that? I got to say it again. This person heard me say it the first time, so they remember everything because they think I was lying. And so their ears perked up while my mind was trying to get away from the lie. And eventually, you cease lying because it's a pain in the ass. And so I don't know personally, I mean, if I were to be the director of NASA, one of the very first covert meetings I would have with my staff is to say, we have got to pull out of all these lies that we're telling. We will find other ways of getting funding and doing things for the space program and for humanity that's not going to involve telling lies, right? But, you know, what would be the what would be one of the number one projects they would do? They would do a zero-point energy system project. But now they have all these bankers looking at them going, we value every monetary unit in this planet off of a barrel of oil. That's changing a little bit, you know, these, as countries are stockpiling gold, and there's the rumor that we're going to switch over to gold. Whatever. Until we do that switch, we can't disturb the energy system of the world. It's got to be oil, right? It's big business. I have an episode called Replacing NASA. I believe that's what I called it. And that's real important. You know, but which is funny. I think about a month after that episode released, Donald Trump came out with Space Force. I thought that was poetic. I'm sure there's no connection whatsoever. But isn't that interesting? There's a stream of consciousness in the world that goes, you know. And I mentioned this. I didn't give it a name, but I said there needs to be a military branch of the space program. And then the President of the United States, a month later, says it. Pretty cool, right? That division of the Space Force doesn't have to lie about anything except to maybe push a little bit of propaganda about our missiles, our bombs, whatever technology that we have to short-circuit wars from our enemies, who might say, oh shit, they've got that. Well, then either we have to have it or we should just back off politically, diplomatically in the world so that we don't create animosity with that country. I don't know. Not the way I operate, but I can understand if they do it. If you're a person that believes we went to the moon, don't you want to go back? And what excuses are you buying as to why no other country's been able to put a man on the moon? What excuses are you buying that America can't go back to the moon? I mean, we did it 6 times, and it was flawless. Flawless. Only Apollo 13, which has less than a paragraph of information about what the explosion was on the outside of the capsule, that, you know, jeopardize the entire mission, which is all bunk, but whatever. Don't you want to go back? I do. I want to be there for the first time. I want to see it. I want it to be so well oiled that it's just a ticket you can buy. Maybe it's 10 grand, maybe it's 100 grand, but you could go. I mean, you can get in a spacesuit and you can walk around on the moon. Look at me, Mom, no hands, right? If you haven't been to deepthoughtsradio.com, that is the jump-off point for this show. And really, that's important if you want to either do one of two things. You want to switch formats, you want to have it in your car as a podcast, or you want to get into some conversations on our locked Facebook group. It grows steadily. Again, we've had a tremendous uptick in subscriptions for season 4, so that's very cool. There's the Patreon thing out there. I only leave it up, really, because it's in a lot of my bumpers, and some folks want to donate. It goes up and down, you know, sometimes. It's really funny, the dollar amount, I think it just dropped. I think I lost about 2 people, which is really weird. I put out the most popular episode that's been out there, and I lost two Patreon folks. You know, helps buy cigars, whatever. Again, the revenue off the channel, I'll just be very transparent with you guys. The average monthly take on YouTube is $19. It says on my little app that I'm up to $27 this month. So that's it's almost doubled. I mean, that's cool, right? I mean, not doubled, but it's 50% higher than it was before. So that's interesting. But those numbers go back down, right? So it's estimating if you keep this traffic up for the next 28 days, this is what your paycheck's going to be. And so I think it has to get to $100 before they actually shift it into my account. So it takes 4 months. It takes 5 months on average for me to get $1 out of the channel. So it really doesn't register much. But, you know, these cigars are about, these are about $5 a piece. I bought a box of these for $110, 25 sticks in the box. So, you know, a little bit of revenue helps provide the stinky stick here. For anyone interested in cigars, you don't smoke them, definitely see my episode on cigars. It's not watched that very much. And I'm probably going to do an episode all about Cuban cigars this year. So if you have any interest, keep your eyes out for that episode coming out. Regardless, thank you for coming. Thank you for supporting the show. I appreciate every single one of you. Whether you believe what I say or not, it doesn't matter. Take care of yourself and someone else, and I'll see you in the next Deep Thoughts. Over and out.